From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. In announcing the reestablishment of diplomatic relations with Cuba today, President Obama said that isolation has not worked. Mr. Obama also calling for the easing of economic and travel restrictions with the island nation, saying it is time for a new approach.
Let us leave behind the legacy of both colonization and communism, the tyranny of drug cartels, dictators, and sham elections. A future of greater peace, security, and democratic development is possible if we work together, not to maintain power, not to secure vested interests, but instead to advance the dreams of our citizens.
Under a deal hammered out over 18 months of discussion, some economic and travel sanctions were lifted. The U.S. also plans to reopen an embassy in Cuba for the first time in more than 50 years. Part of the deal for normalizing relations came with the release of an American contractor as well as the exchange of other prisoners. NPR's Brackton Booker reports on the return of the contractor.
Alan Gross is a free man after spending 5 years in a Cuban jail.
I'm incredibly blessed finally to have the freedom to resume a positive and constructive life.
With his wife Judy at his side, he thanked her, the president, and all those who worked towards his release. He also spoke of his respect for the Cuban people.
In no way are they responsible for the ordeal to which my family and I have been subjected.
Alan Gross is reportedly suffering a number of health ailments, including 5 of his teeth breaking while he was imprisoned. He asked for privacy and said he hoped the U.S. and Cuba could move beyond what he called mutually belligerent policies. Brackton Booker, NPR News, Washington.
Federal regulators say wireless company Sprint illegally billed its customers millions of dollars for text message alerts and other services they didn't ask for. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau saying today it sued the company over its billing for the unauthorized charges, a practice commonly referred to as cramming. The Federal Reserve reaffirmed its policy today, saying it will keep key interest rates down for a considerable time. NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports many market watchers had expected the Fed to drop that phrase, possibly signaling an earlier rate hike.
According to the Fed's latest reading, many segments of the economy continue to improve, most notably the job market. Nevertheless, with some aspects of the economy in slow gear, such as housing, and with inflation still low, the Fed maintained the same cautious stance it has had. The central bank recently ended its bond-buying stimulus program successfully without causing market disruptions in rates. Now it says it can be patient about how it manages an eventual interest rate hike. The rate increase is expected to happen sometime next year. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.
The Fed's message was well received on Wall Street. The Dow was up 288 points today to close at 17,356. The Nasdaq gained 96 points. You're listening to NPR. Sony is taking no chances in terms of screening the controversial comedy The Interview. Premieres of the movie set for tomorrow night in New York had already been canceled. Now a nationwide release slated for Christmas Day is off. The movie stars Seth Rogen and James Franco. It's about a CIA plot to kill North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, which has outraged North Korea. In recent weeks, Sony, the company that owns the studio releasing the film, has been subject to a major computer hacking incident. Shadowy group claiming responsibility, calling itself the Guardians of Peace. It also threatened violence against theaters that carry the movie, though it hasn't been determined whether that threat is credible. Rights groups are reporting the discovery of a mass grave in eastern Syria. NPR's Alice Fordham reports that bodies seem to be those of tribesmen massacred earlier this year by the so-called Islamic State.
Hundreds of men from the Shaitat tribe were killed by the extremists in August in the southeastern province of Deir ez-Zor. A sheikh from the tribe says the massacre stemmed from a dispute over control of oil resources in the hydrocarbon-rich area. Most of the Shaitat tribe fled their home in Deir ez-Zor in August, but have since returned after agreeing a set of conditions with the Islamic State, including handing over weapons and sticking to a curfew. After the massacre, hundreds of people were unaccounted for. The activist organization, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, says the new grave contains more than 200 of these missing people. Alice Fordham, NPR News.
Apparently things got a bit out of hand at a Toledo, Ohio mall. So out of hand, it seems, police moved in using pepper spray to disperse people standing in line. According to media reports, dozens of people began gathering before 6 a.m. at the Franklin Park Mall to get tickets to be eligible to buy Nike Air Jordans. This is NPR.